Welcome to Couch Sessions by YWAM Heidebeek. On this podcast, we sit down with YWAMers to have interesting and challenging conversations on their journey with Holy Spirit and how they live their day-to-day lives with God. So come, join us. This episode is hosted by Marita Winkler.
Today, I'm here together with Ulla Brouwer. Thank you for being here, Ulla. And Ulla is part of YWAM Heidebeek for many years. She's from Denmark, living in the Netherlands with her family, and she works as a psychosocial coach. And maybe you can just tell a bit yourself. What are you doing here at Heidebeek, Ulla?
I came here almost 25 years ago, and I thought it was just going to be for 1 year. And I've been doing lots of different jobs here at Heidebeek. Just been helping in different departments, and I discovered actually what I really like and what seems to work well in my relationships when I was getting into coaching, mentoring, having talks with people. So I decided to do a therapy study, and now I'm just using that one as my main tool, my main gift, contribution to Heidebeek and to other YWAMers and also to people from outside YWAM.
And what is it, what motivates you to do this? What do you really like about your work?
I do see that we people, we get to face obstacles in our lives. Sometimes we have faced them before, life today, but sometimes it's just nowadays obstacles that we get into, and often has to do with how we relate to ourselves or how we relate to others, and then we get stuck and we're not sure how to find a way forward. Often we will find solutions, find a way forward just by talking to ourselves, to God, and to other people. But sometimes there are things that we really need to give more attention, and it needs to also, we need to reserve some time really to work through it. And that's what I do in my job. That's what I really love doing, to help people become who they are from origin.
That's beautiful. That's also really beautiful said, to help people become what they are from origin. I also experiencing you as a person who lives a very, in my opinion, balanced life. Maybe you experience it for yourself differently. But yeah, you really also combine this, yeah, the soul, but also our bodies and our spirit. And we're one unit. And I would just be really curious, was this always something you were very aware that we are a one being? There's connection between our different parts, also looking more into Greek thinking. It's more separate our body from our soul and our spirit. How was your journey with that? Was it always like this, or was it a way to go?
I think I'm born with it almost too. As a young child, I was just looking at how people related to one another. I looked at how husband and wife related to one another when they were in church or when they were at home. I looked at how teachers, pastors would be expressing themselves, whether in private or in group setting. And I thought, this is interesting that we sometimes can be, yeah, I call it a little bit double, or can be, behave differently. Of course, we all behave a bit differently when we're at home and other places. But especially that diversion in behavior has always had my interest. So it means for myself also that I have been looking at, am I living a wholesome life, a holistic life? But it's not just about behavior. It's also with food. It's spiritually, yeah, body, soul, and mind.
And of course, like wholesome living, holistic living, it's also really a trend word. How would you define what that is? Because we hear lots of definitions.
My short definition is be out of one piece. Jesus says, it's in the Bible after the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. At least in a lot of Bible translation, it's been translated with be perfect. And that's the one we tend to try and live accordingly, that we do everything perfectly. But I heard that another translation, and it's more in line with what he was trying to say, is be out of one piece. Be who you are. And for me, that is, you know, that we live kind of according to the Bible in what we eat and how we sleep, eat, sport, speak to other people in our teaching and in our whatever, in our coming and our going.
Mm-hmm. And of course, in theory, that makes a lot of sense. But then as we look at how do we live our lives, what are things you do in your life to make sure you are one?
That's a good question. I think sometimes I'm not even aware of what am I doing, because I'm trying to create healthy habits and I'm not even aware sometimes what I do until I visit somebody else and I think, oh, you're not doing it anymore. Or you're not doing it. Or, oh, that's what I'm doing. I do try to look at stress. I try to look, actually, I call in a bit the six S's in life. It has to do with our sleep. It has to do with our food. That's not an S, so more our servings, what we eat, social life, spiritual life, sport. Do we have them all? It should be six of them. Sport has to do with how we move. And try to give them a bit of attention, all of them. And of course, sometimes you can put more of a focus, attention on sleep. Sleep is actually a problem. Or a thing that a lot of people are struggling with nowadays. There are good reasons for it. It has to do with what we believe about sleep. Stay up night and get filled with candy. Or sometimes we just don't want to sleep because we rather pray and worship. Or sometimes we have no clue how important sleep is to us. Of course, all our screens will also keep us away from sleep.
So these areas, was it something you defined at some point of your life? Or did it more come naturally to you?
When you're interested in things, things just come your way. You just suddenly see it, or you hear about things and you think, oh yeah, all these areas need to be kind of defined for ourselves in order to function well. Because if we don't eat well, we will actually not sleep well. We will actually not move sport well, move around, move our bodies. We will have less energy, so we are going to be less social. We will not really have energy to do anything about our spiritual life. So actually, just if one is not doing well, one area is not going well, it will affect all the others.
And often as Christians, we can have the tendency, of course, and that's not necessarily bad, but to really focus on our spiritual life, or feeling like, oh, maybe it's a bit dry, or I'm not where I would like to be. And we really try to work on it in different ways. But you just mentioned really shortly also the impact these other areas can have. So can you maybe say a bit more about that? How do you see that our soul and our bodies also really impact our spiritual life?
It has to do with what we believe. Jesus says, be renewed, be transformed in your mind. And just one thing is sugar. Depends on what we believe about sugar. Sugar, a lot of people believe that it's healthy and that is necessary, but actually most of the kinds of sugars we don't need, and they are disturbing our bodies. The more sugar we eat, the more tired we become, and the more tired we are, the less creative we are, the less we feel like doing things, and the worse our sleep we actually will get. And then we don't feel like getting up in the mornings, we don't feel like spending time with God, we don't feel like encouraging other people. So it's just like one ingredient, but it has quite an impact on our day and our night.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then if we look at maybe someone is a bit struggling, lack of sleep, maybe just not the most healthy patterns in life, what's a good starting point to make a change?
I think talk to somebody. Because when we talk to somebody about our sleeping patterns, we discover how other people look at it, and it can be very refreshing to hear how other people do it with their sleeping rhythms. And then we also become more aware of it for ourselves. Because there's sometimes things we believe about sleep. We perhaps believe that we need our own quiet, cool, dark room in order to be able to sleep. And if that's the case, well, then we can only sleep when we have our own dark, cool, quiet room. But it's actually possible to sleep in the midst of a lot of noise. It has to do with what we believe. But in order also to be able to relax, we should scrap the sugar, we should take the sugar away, but also take magnesium. It's one of my favorite minerals, but it helps us to relax. So a lot of people are deficient in magnesium, and that means that they don't fall asleep as easy, or they can't sleep all night, or they wake up more times. It could be we are lacking something.
Mm-hmm. What makes it so hard for us people to change our patterns, even though we know they're not in the long-term beneficial for us?
I think it's because we've gotten some defense mechanisms. And maybe it also because it takes time to adjust to new ideas. I know for myself, sometimes I read about something or hear about something. It can sometimes take me about a year before I start to implement it in my life. Other people are way faster. They hear about something and the same day they start with new habits. It's a bit different with our personalities, how we do it. It doesn't really matter as long as we are open to make changes. Actually, the way we live today is quite harmful for the body, so we will need to become aware of a more healthy lifestyle, more healthy choices. Just the fact is that 80% of what we buy in the supermarkets today are really not good for the body. And we buy all sorts of things. So it's as before, like 100 years ago, when grandma and grandpa's days, they would have the vegetables in the garden and they would have their own fruit trees. They didn't need to be so aware of how they lived and what they ate as we have today.
And of course, you said right in the beginning, you also have a lot of conversations with people. And of course, there can be also different reasons for our behavior or our patterns. Do you also recognize as you talk with people that it frees up space for them to change those patterns? Or maybe sometimes we also tend to try things alone. And what is the benefits you also experience people coming and talking with you and going through processes regarding this wholesome living also?
I see that just by changing one thing, it can affect the overall functioning of a person. If a person starts to, let's say, get more vitamin C, they will be less sick, less flus and colds. They'll have more energy because vitamin C strengthens the immune system, lowers the stress, and people will actually be fitter and be more creative throughout the day. They start to change their clothing style, their hairstyle, they change the rooms, they give it a nice color, and they start to do these things that I actually wanted to do for a long time. Pick up hobbies, pick up different things in life.
So I only need to take vitamin C and everything will be okay?
Almost that good. I believe that every one thing that we change will affect the whole. And I am flabbergasted. I'm fascinated about how our bodies are put together. As before, I used to think more that body, soul, and spirit were separate, but I so much more see how they interact with one another. And I'm fascinated about just adding one thing or subtracting one thing, and then to see what it does for our energy. But even, it's not just our energy, but energy is connected to creativity, our capacity to love others, to love ourselves. So just one change for good will really change the overall functioning of a person.
And how do you notice in your own life if one of the areas is not in balance? Are there any signals? Also, maybe specifically for one, you named your 6S areas, I believe. Are there different signals from each area? How do you notice you need to act?
Our body is actually constantly communicating to us. And what we often do is to take painkillers because we don't want those signals, so off you go. But constantly we are getting signals from our bodies, but also from our soul, our spirit too, our intuition, or just any idea, or even the thought of maybe I should just start to sport a bit. And then we think, hey, it's Wednesday afternoon, 2 o'clock, nobody's doing sport now. But actually our body is trying to tell us, just get up, move around. So constantly our bodies are talking to us, and if we would pay a bit more attention to it, we would know what to do. It can even be sometimes we really feel like, let's say, eating oranges, or that we have, and then we should just go and get some oranges. Maybe the body just needs what an orange contains. Or we think, oh, I'm feeling lonely. What we often do is go to Netflix or any other film or so, instead of thinking, I feel lonely. Maybe I could invite a friend over or phone somebody to have contact. So we get these impulses the whole time from our whole being. Can even be God is saying, wouldn't it be time to spend time with me? Or we think, I really would like to read a book about the character of God and then dive into it. And usually when we've done certain things for a while, we think, oh, I'm getting satisfied. I'm feeling nourished. And then we move on to the next thing. I see our life's a bit like it's like a circus artist with when they have sticks and then plates on top of the sticks and they are trying to spin them around and keep them all in the air at the same time. That's a bit how we should be living. It's not just one stick, but let's keep all these plates going. And it's actually not that difficult because our whole being will constantly remind us of things.
And so as we're learning to be more in tune with ourselves, that also I think can be sometimes a challenge because we also feel emotions we maybe don't find pleasant. And sometimes we also can almost think, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this because I should know better. Or maybe also God's perspective on this is different than what I feel right now, so I shouldn't be feeling that, which is, when I listen to what you say, really not helpful. So what is a better way to do this without completely being overwhelmed by an emotion we're feeling?
I think it's natural for all of us. So we just don't want to encounter anything that can give us anxiety, can be stressful. So we have a defense mechanism in us. So we are kind of rejecting, refusing, or withholding any information in that area. It could also be our emotional life. We think, no, we're not going there. We try to find scripture verses sometimes just to numb, a bit like a painkiller, just to numb these emotions. Like, I don't know, you know, Jesus could be angry, or we shouldn't be angry. And it's okay to be sad, but not too much. Or we just find all sorts of reasons not to go there. Well, it is so freeing if we talk to somebody, for example, about shame, and the other person said, oh, I recognize that. I know what it is to feel ashamed. Let's talk about it, and let's look into it. Maybe you're actually ashamed of things you don't even need to be ashamed of. So I think in talking to others, we also hear ourselves talking. In talking to God, we also hear what we actually are praying about. And we also hear what they say back to us. And I believe it's can be quite a healing, freeing experience.
You make it sound so easy.
Yes. It's actually, I think the most difficult thing is within ourselves. Because we have that defense mechanism. Kind of, it's like, no, don't go there. Don't touch it. But actually, as we do, we discover that there could be a whole new world opening up to us. And it could be fascinating.
So if we recognize, oh, we're maybe struggling identifying with feelings, or I do notice from myself years ago, I found that scary. But you do know you want to grow in it because you know it's helpful not to push things aside, but to give it a place and to go through it. But what are things which can be helpful if we notice, oh, it's hard and we really encounter a lot of resistance, but we do want to be more in touch with ourselves so we are able to do all those things you mentioned before, to know what is our body communicating, what is our soul saying, what can be helpful if it's really hard?
I think talking to somebody about it, it's not just that the other person can give feedback, but it's actually if the other person will take time to listen, we'll get to hear what's inside of us. That's one way to get to know more, and we also get to know what's really playing within inside of us. And we might not have been aware of that until somebody took the time to listen. It's also good to read books about different topics, and even to know that God created us with emotions. He could have created us without emotions, but He gave us kind of four basic emotions: joy, sadness, fear, and anger. And there's a lot more, many more emotions, but they can kind of be fitting into these categories, like we also enthusiastic or we're thankful. But God gave us emotions. If we wouldn't have done that, we would have been more like robots. So He knew that we would need them. Also, somebody likes gardening. Some other people don't like gardening. That also comes through our emotional expression. And God knew that we needed these emotions in order to be able to encounter what comes our way, because there's actually some depth to these emotions. Sadness has to do with a past thing, situation we've gone through, and we need to be able to deal with past situations and going into today's situation. that's what sadness helps us about. And anger and fear, they also have each their own significance. They're gifts to us. So instead of praying them away, we should start to receive them as gift. It's almost like getting a gift and it's wrapped and we don't like the paper, we don't like the wrapping. So we think, oh, there cannot be a good gift in there. But as we open up the gift of emotions which God has given us, we start to discover it could be this is a very helpful gift for us.
So when I listen to you, I really hear as a first thing to really be aware and maybe assess a bit for ourselves, where are we at? Do we actually know about the different areas in our lives, maybe where we're at? And that it starts with also this awareness, where am I at? And then also as a next step, sharing life. And maybe it can be a friend, or maybe it can be a counselor or a coach, and to really invite people in and be also honest about what we're feeling, not pushing it away, but embracing it and finding good ways to deal with it.
And I think out of shame, we often tend to only want to talk to God about it. But something, and that's good, that's always good, but something healing can also take place when we talk to other people about it. I think we people, we can hurt one another the most, but we can also be part of healing and bringing joy the most to one another. So it's kind of taking a risk and starting to open up and talk to other people about what's going on inside of us. And it's so refreshing to hear somebody else give a response that we never thought of.
Yeah. And we, of course, mentioned it already a bit throughout the conversation. But also, just again, like why is it so important that we are in tune with ourselves as Christians and not just try our best to somehow run and fulfill our task?
We like both. Both are important. It's good to be outwardly focused and to be working. I'm really for lots of work, lots of sleep, and health. But I'm also for listening to what's happening in our bodies, because neglecting the signals that our bodies are giving us, it's almost like if you drive a car and we have the dashboard and a lamp is going on, like the oil or the gas is running out, and we think, I don't want to listen to that. I'll take the fuse out so I don't have to see that light flickering the whole time. It's almost what we do with our bodies. We don't want these signals. We don't understand them. Just as little as, like, I understand the signals my car is giving me almost. These signals that our bodies are sending us, we should start to look into it and start to try and figure out what it is, because it will give us more joy from within. Actually, when we are allowed to be who we really are, it's probably one of the most joyful experiences we can have. And it's often what we experience in our prayer life with God, or in sermons, that God actually allows us to be who we are. We're constantly trying to change ourselves. We're constantly telling ourselves that we're not good enough, so we're working harder. And then when we hear God says, you know, you're enough, you're good enough. I didn't create you as a holy, holy being, because I do see you as holy already. And when we then realize, or when we get that gift, I'm okay, I may be who I am. It's probably one of the most joyful experiences we can have. And we can help one another with that one.
And it will also enable us to do all the works we're probably desiring to do when we are ourselves. So of course we also see nowadays that we can be also very self-centered. And I think there are a lot of also Christians, for also good reasons, afraid. I don't want to be the self-centered person who just circles around themselves instead of reaching out to the neighbor. So maybe can you stay still a sentence to that fear? Like, how do we balance that? You said already a little bit.
Perhaps again the picture of keeping the three plates, now this time three plates in the air with a stick, trying to move them around. We can't just and the three sticks represent, or the three plates represent, God, the other, and myself. We need to love each one. We need to love God. We need to love others. We also need to love ourselves. It's not enough only to love God or others, because then actually we become needy people and with a low self-esteem at the very end. If we exclude God, we only have loving the others and loving ourselves, and that's a poor kind of only earthly relationship. And if we don't love others, but it's only between me and God, I'll love God, I'll love myself, but not interact with others, we also are growing poor. So it's actually about kind of rotating these swinging plates of taking turns in loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. That way we're going to be less selfish, and that way we will actually have most joy and most energy to work, because I believe we are created to work. You know, a good day's job done, oh, wonderful.
That's a beautiful picture. I like this picture, and I feel like it also rounds this conversation off really well. Like, it's about loving God, loving others, and ourselves. And we don't exclude any of this, but we need it all. Maybe in the end now, some people feel a bit overwhelmed, thinking, oh yeah, I'm actually realizing I'm not there. There's so much. Maybe you can have an encouraging word still for them. Why is it worth to start? And how can we start?
We actually have started already. And we are going to be on this journey the rest of our lives. You know, we always long for the moment or the time that we will arrive somewhere and we don't have to learn anything anymore, that we will be perfect. But actually, I think God, in his creativity, in the way he's genius, he has created the world and us so that there will always be treasures to be found and to be discovered. So whereas we long for the day that we know everything, God actually thought, I'm going to keep surprising you. So that means that we're on a journey that we'll keep being surprised. There will be things to learn each day. And as we learn new things, we think, whoa, this is fascinating. And God is like, yeah, I hid it there for you. Just for you, to give you joy. Just a little gift for you. Mm-hmm. I learned about the liver yesterday. And the liver is such a beautiful organ. Just as a small example, I think this is fantastic what our liver can. And then I realized, God, you put our bodies together in a way so that we can keep being getting fascinated by how you have created us, what you've given us. And so also nature. There's so many things that can be eaten in what we call wildlife or the herbs growing outside. That God just, he's given us so much, so many treasures he's been hiding for us. So it's just a matter of keep journeying, keep mm-hmm. learning, keep living. Keep asking and keep enjoying, because it's all there for us. Mm-hmm. And there is no just one answer.
Thank you for being here today, Ulla. Thank you for inviting us in to your journey. I also really see that you live this and that you are on a journey and that it's possible. And I hope we all got this out of this conversation today, that change is possible and taking steps on a journey to be more one, to be who God created us to be, is possible. Thank you for that gift you gave us today.